Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcast, live from Mobile Podcast Command, kicking off the next 500 podcast with Podcast 501. We're going to talk about an issue that is local to Minneapolis and St. Paul, but I think this is one of those things that can be applied nationwide because almost every city has regional planning councils. It has state laws governing those councils, and there are planning issues associated with those councils. Now, in our town, in Minneapolis and St. Paul, it's something called the Metropolitan Council, which was originally started to handle sewer, water, and airports, things of that nature, and has since morphed into quite a large bureaucracy. They handle the transit, they have transit police, and they are responsible for comprehensive plans throughout the now 12-county metropolitan area, or as some people refer to it, the 7-county metropolitan area. So I have an associate who has been a longtime client of the BobDavisPodcast.com, Mark Korn from Depot Star and Alpha Systems. And I don't usually put clients on, but sometimes they have interesting reasons to be on. In addition to his capacity as my client, Mark Korn is also the mayor and a very popular mayor of a town in Minnesota, in Anoka County, about 20 miles north of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul area, in a place called Oak Grove, Minnesota. So Mark Korn's going to join us here on Mobile Podcast Command. As soon as he gets here after we had lunch, we're going to sit down and talk about an issue that involves Oak Grove, the Met Council, and oddly enough, the state legislature. Now, we're having some great weather in the upper Midwest, beautiful mid-May weather. Summer is coming on. It's just now getting to be highs in the 70s, and that is a perfect time to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check your AC. Hang on a second, Mark, because I gotta talk about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. So I've talked a lot about Ryan Plumbing all this winter for emergency service in relation to broken pipes, frozen pipes, things of that nature, but a lot of people don't know that Ryan Plumbing and Heating also does air conditioning, and they do heating systems. And AC systems can get deteriorated through the cold winters in the upper Midwest, and it pays to have AC checks done by Ryan Plumbing and Heating, somebody who knows how to do it and do it right. But it has to be at least 70 degrees for Ryan to come out and check the AC in your residence or business. You check it because of efficiency, you might save some money, and Ryan can also check some of your other systems that may not have been checked since last fall. So give Ryan Plumbing and Heating a call in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, and of course, emergency service. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been, but they go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too, wherever you are, whether it is Inver Grove or Minneapolis or Edina, they can get a plumber to you pretty quickly. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 for four generations. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thank you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Municipalities all over the state are dealing with development issues, and development issues in specific related to something called the Met Council in the Minneapolis and St. Paul Metro. And I really shouldn't say all over the state because it really is the 12-county metropolitan area, right? But I'm talking to Mark because Mark is the mayor of a small town in Minnesota in the metropolitan area in Anoka County, Oak Grove, right?
Correct.
And he is dealing with an issue related to the Met Council, which I think will inform people, regardless of their political orientation, as to one of the reasons that things happen with development that we don't like, and city councils seem to be powerless to do much about it, or seem to acquiesce to the planning suzerains at the Met Council, the Metropolitan Council. So I don't want to go on and on because, of course, Mark is the guy who's the guest here, but this is an issue near and dear to my heart. So we're sitting in Mobile Podcast Command. We just had lunch at a diner and we're out in the parking lot. God knows what people think we're doing. But fortunately, the engine's off. So that's good.
Yeah. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Yo, I'm really good. I'm full. Had a great lunch at Lindy's here in Osseo.
I'm not really ready to give Lindy's a plug because she was not happy that I had my giant cup of coffee from Starbucks.
No, she was not.
And it's been a long time since a server said, you know, that's not allowed in restaurants. And it's like, hey, you know what? This is a question of freedom. And if I want to bring my, what did she say? That's a big no-no in restaurants.
And what did we say, though? We'll make sure it's okay for you. So
it's like, honey, I've been carrying coffee cups into restaurants since God was a boy.
So you're
engaged in it. What I want you to do is, first of all, tell us about Oak Grove.
Well, Oak Grove is about an 8,500 citizen town, 36 square miles, northern Anoka County city. It is a wonderful place to grow up, a community that's part rural, part neighborhoods, part still farms, and a small amount of commercial. I've been active in local politics, and maybe kind of
you have a great story. So I think you should just succinctly tell. Mark is the mayor of Oak Grove and started on the city council and has been elected, I don't know how many times now, with like 98%. You're like the Saddam Hussein.
Well, yeah, okay. I don't know if I call myself that.
Or Hugo Chavez.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm one of those guys that I've worked as an engineer, a manager, a business owner now for over 20 years. I'm one of those guys that want to know everything before I feel comfortable talking about it or acting on it or making a decision on it. Let me just put it basic. I've held every volunteer position, Parks Commission Chair, Planning Commission Chair for 15 years. Then I was elected as City Council. I was elected mayor. Our city administrator quit before I could fire her. So I volunteered to be the city administrator. I chaired the comp plan rewrites for the last two times.
What's a comp plan?
It's like a plan every city has to adopt. It's a process that every city goes through. And it's supposed to be the guide. You have ordinances in your regulations, and the comp plan is supposed to be the city's leadership's view of how the city's going to develop, change in 10 years. So it's really like, okay, we sit down and say, in the next 10 years, we believe we're going to have this kind of growth in this area, and we're going to develop this way. We're going to have this kind of growth in business or residential, and the plans for our city. I've been involved from day one, so I'm not a rube when it comes to leadership in my city.
The great thing about your story is you've reduced costs and improved efficiency all along. And when you may not know this, but when Mark goes out and speaks and talks about this, it's electrifying for people to hear how somebody, and I don't think it's a question of political orientation. It's your ability to question things. Where were we in some city hall that was brand new and the thing was huge, and we were walking through there and you looked around and you said, think of all the employees that they can fill this building with.
Yeah, that was for that eminent domain thing down south.
Yeah,
remember
that's
that?
Right, that's right.
We cut our taxes by 34% in the first 4 years of me in my first term. I got reelected mayor this time by 97.5%. I'm very fortunate. I don't call myself a politician. I hate that word. Right. I know I am, but it's not about the limelight for me. It's about bringing a skill set that I've learned and was able to bring my private sector business experience, my problem solving, all that to government leadership. Period. Right. I don't care what and how they did it in the past, but But if I'm not allowed to ask questions, ask why are they doing things this way? How are they doing it? And are there better ways to do it? And if you're squelched as a leader, then you're not a very good leader.
And I've seen you take calls from constituents while we have been having lunch. So yes. I know. I've seen it in action.
You know, I think it's very difficult, number one, to be a good leader and be able to say, look, you may not want to hear what I have to tell you, but these are the ordinances we have in place. We're going to treat everybody the same. I don't care if you're a person that just moved into the city. I don't care if you've been there 40 years. We have a set of laws, rules, regulations, and that goes for everyone. Whether it's a city issue, a county issue, or a state issue, we have to treat everybody the same. And I think cities get into trouble when you treat one group differently than the other.
My favorite story about you was, and this is near and dear to my heart since I'm the owner of a fire vehicle. Somebody said, we need to get a new fire engine. And you said, well, how many miles does the fire engine have on it that we have? And they said, well, it's only got 60,000 miles on it.
No, it had 12,000 miles on it.
And you said, well, we don't need a new fire engine. What year is it?
Yeah, it was a 96 or something. Yeah, you know, it's decisions like that, okay, it's 10 years old, it's time for a new one. And those kind of things, look, if it's reliable, it goes through service every year, it goes through checks every year.
It's 20 years old.
Well, it can be 30 years old as long as it works right. And reliable.
And does what it's supposed to do.
Correct.
Anyway, so that's one of my favorite stories about you. Because most municipalities, you know, the mayor or whoever would say, oh, a new fire engine. We can get our pictures taken with it and we'll break ground with the new fire engine, with the new firehouse and everything else. You're trying to avoid that, which brings me to this subject, which is that you're engaged in... should I characterize it as a fight or should I characterize it as a discussion?
A struggle.
With the Met Council.
And
so you're, first of all, so people know, where geographically is Oak Grove?
Well, Anoka County, if everybody knows that there's the seven county metro counties, if you will, we're in Anoka County. And Anoka County has cities within that county. Within that county, we're an outer northern suburb. There's one more city just north of us called St. Francis.
Okay.
So we're the second to the last city out in the outer ring of Anoka County.
When we say city, we're not talking about skyscrapers and apartment buildings and shopping centers and things of that nature.
Correct.
What's the biggest development, you know, commercial development in Oak Grove? Isn't that where the Casey's is or whatever it is or down on the
Yeah, corner? There's a strip mall with a gas station and Bill's Superette, which I love to death. I just go there all the time. They know me first day. They know who I am.
Well, sure.
But, you know, it's a great place. There's a lot of neighborhoods. Let's put it that way. Large lots. We have a certain minimum lot size, 2.5 acre overall density. As a minimum guideline. And that's where the struggles with the organization called Met Council. Because I was involved with Met Council as a planning chair before I was elected, we're an appointed position, and I was the chair, I actually helped write most of the ordinances for our city.
Okay.
So I've been involved since just after the city became a city. We were a township in 93, we became a city. And then we have to go through, once you become a city, you have to go through planning stages. You have to become, there's certain steps and procedures, and you have to create a comprehensive plan for, basically, it's an overview of how your city is going to develop.
Okay, so what's the big issue with, what's the Met Council doing to you?
Okay. It's a complicated story, but I'll try to make it as succinct as I possibly can.
You've got a minute. No, I'm kidding.
So good luck.
No, we have fun. This is podcast.
I can say,
we
can I swear on here?
40 minutes if we want.
Can I swear on here?
Yeah, you could.
No, I won't.
I would cut it out, though.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
The Met Council's task is to plan for growth in the sewer and water issues that they control, other things, transportation, airport commission, you know, things that over the whole seven county metro area, they have jurisdiction to say that their vision, their knowledge, their wisdom is overseeing and overpowering. They are in an appointed position by the governor. We have Met Council representatives that have districts, and these representatives are supposed to be our voice back to the leadership of the Met Council. Every year, we have to adopt a comprehensive plan that the Met Council says that's acceptable to them in their growth plans. So our issue really came about in 2006 or 2008 when we had to do what's called a 2030 comprehensive plan for the city of Oak Grove. In that comp plan, the Met Council representative, Natalie Stephan, had brought the vision of Met Council to Oak Grove and says, if you want to subdivide your properties, which, by the way, they've allowed us to subdivide everywhere across our city from 10 acres, 20 acres, 50 acres, 150 acres, down to 2.5 acres for the last 25 years. We've had...
What do you mean by subdivide?
Okay, where you have a farmer that retires, sells off his property, so he might have 80 acres. So we have rules that say guidelines or ordinances that say we can take a parcel. If I have an 80-acre parcel and I can subdivide it down into...
As an owner, not the city.
As an owner, yes. As an owner, I can subdivide my property within the guidelines that are set forth in our ordinance, which are 2.5 acres.
Okay.
Per lot.
Minimum.
Minimum.
Okay.
That's including the street.
Well, and why? Because that will keep it a...
A rural environment.
Okay.
Or a rural
type... Ex-urban.
Yeah, ex-urban. It's not high density by any means, but it still gives that sense of...
Openness.
Yeah.
And this is what the people of Oak Grove have indicated that they want their town to be like.
The correct.
They don't want mixed use housing. They don't want apartment buildings. They don't want high density development.
That's correct.
Why is that?
Because the rural nature, the country feel of the neighborhood, we call it a bedroom community.
And people have horses and
people
ATVs
have horses and yeah, we can drive on our streets, our city streets. That was another ordinance that I helped facilitate because it made sense for our community. Because it is larger lots, you have more distance to go to your neighbor. We wanted to be able to have that country feel and be able to do things people in Fridley or Columbia Heights or Northeast Minneapolis, they just can't do.
For example, you had a jet engine for a while.
I had three Russian jets. And I'd have a jet starting party in my driveway. Yeah. Oh, you brought
that
up.
Which I would love to be there for.
Hey, I still have a jet, but it's the little tiny one. I'll have to start it up sometime for you.
So whatever your pursuit, okay. It's the kind of place where you could where you could stay. Here comes
right.
The Met Council with what do they call those plans that they have, the comprehensive plans, their big plans?
It's their regional plan. And every year they come out with their regional plan's view or their view of what they believe their money's going to be spent, where the growth is going to happen. And they have a overview, and in our problem started in 2008 when we wanted to go from one home in 10, which ours was a rural density, to 2.5 acres, which has a different density classification.
Is it higher or lower density?
Higher density. Higher density means more homes in that area. So... Let me just back up a little bit so that you and your listeners can understand. We have an overview of our city's growth was one home per 10 over the whole city.
Right.
But because the comp plan left us in a higher density area, we would have to go on what's called modify our comp plan, do a comp plan amendment every time a person with a large acreage would want to subdivide down into smaller properties.
How small?
2.5 acre minimum.
Oh, okay. So this is still not.
Yeah.
You know,
so
just so I have an idea, how big are most of the places in Oak Grove, most of the properties in terms of size?
Well, they can range a minimum of 2.5 acres up to 40 acres, 100 acres. I have 20 acres.
Okay.
So.
So you wanted to go to a little bit.
We wanted to be able to have the right across the city to for anybody that we don't have to keep going back to the comprehensive plan and saying this doesn't fit our city and get their approval.
And you ran afoul of the Met Council.
Oh, big
back time. In 2008. What happened in 2008?
In 2008, we had to adopt our 2030 comp plan. And in that comp plan, they forced us, they took 1,100 acres of Oak Grove and said, you will, Oak Grove, taking our arms behind our back and basically a gun behind our heads, and said, you will take and take 1,100 acres of your city and turn it into 3 homes per acre.
Which is a completely different kind of town than what you currently have. If you did that, if you took 1,100 acres and turned it into development like that, what would be the cost to the city?
It'd be, well, first of all, to turn that acreage into 3 homes per acre, the only way that a sewer system could be feasible on that is either a pipe be pushed from somewhere in East Bethel, Andover, somewhere to that 1,100 acres across 3 miles of vacant or of pre-developed land. So land that couldn't hook up to the pipe even if they wanted to. It would cost $8 to $10 million just to get that pipe into the 1,100 acres. And it just doesn't make sense back in 2008. And we told them that. So to adopt our 2030 plan, the first time we went to vote on it, our council denied it. It failed. Then what happened is that our attorney sat down with us and Met Council said, if you don't adopt a plan that we approve, we will do the L word on you.
Which is what?
Lake Elmo.
What is that?
Where they sued, Met Council sued them because they didn't do what they told Met Council they were going to do.
Oh, so they basically said, we're doing what we're going to do anyway. They're not going to threaten us. We're in charge.
Yeah, in this case.
And that is not the way to proceed. So fast forward to 2016. This is coming up again.
Yeah, let me just clarify something in 2008. When we denied the adoption of our 2030 comp plan, they said, you will adopt a plan that we approve or we will sue you.
And like we did Lake Elmo.
Like we did Lake Elmo.
Okay, so they're putting pressure on you. And you.
Yes.
So fast forward to 2016. Okay. You're disputing this. You're saying to them.
We're saying that their plan, their 2040 projections are wrong. They don't fit the area. There's no cost justification. There's no planning. And there's no justification at all to force those residents that own property in the MUSA, the municipal sewer system area, to abide by 3 homes per acre. It doesn't fit our city. There's no growth. I mean, look.
You have not planned for that. So if you were to do a development like that, you would have to add police and fire and other kinds of services, and therefore you would have to raise a higher tax base, and there's a whole development issue. You guys don't want to do that, right?
That's correct. Okay. And in their own system statement for 2040, that's what we're really doing. Think of this, Bob. It's a plan. It's something that, okay, we'll plan this. But their projections for growth in East Bethel, Oak Grove, didn't come through in the 2030 plan. So now they're saying, well, even though those projections in the 2030 plan didn't come true, our system statement, or Met Council system statement for 2040, is saying, even though those projections were wrong, and there's in their own projections for 2040, there's not enough growth to justify their expenditures for our city and in other cities out in the outer suburbs, and by their own projections, because there isn't the growth outer rings, they're going to focus their efforts and their money on the inner rings.
Yeah, and that's all confusing to me, but okay, so you're a body of elected officials. People have voted you guys in. You've been voted in by a majority. Why can't you just vote to say no to the Met Council?
What frustrates me and a lot of elected officials, and it's not just Oak Grove, it's other mayors and city council members across this state, is that we were elected to be the representative leadership for our community. And I know our city, and I'm not against projections and planning and all that. What I'm objecting to is when we go to the Met Council and we say, this, here's the facts behind what we're asking for our community, do not fit the projections of your system statement for 2040. They're not listening to us. And basically, when we go tell them these things, they know legislative-wise they don't have to listen to us.
So you're saying that they're an unappointed body that has complete control over the future of your town, and the elected officials in that town have no say in the matter, really?
That's correct.
And you're challenging, there's two statutes in question, and we're going to talk about those.
Okay. Minnesota Statute 473-146, Subdivision 1, which basically outlines the requirement and what Met Council's rules and what their responsibility is. The problem is that there's another subdivision or an ordinance, a law. There's another law, 473-865, which has to deal with conflict and conflicts with plans. So in other words, they're saying that they have legislative authority based on 473-865. If this is the area that they're pointing their finger at, saying, we don't really care what you mayors and city council members feel or think or act or even know what's best for our communities.
We know what's best.
They know what's best for me and my citizens.
And so I'm this telling gives you, them the legal authority to say yes, you will accept
that's
this.
What they're
what's
basing
the statute
their law
again.
It's 473.865.
So the fix in this, and just so people understand, a similar issue, and I don't know the specifics legally, is Minneapolis's issue with the Southwest Light Rail is going through a section of the lakes area. The land that the Southwest Light Rail will run through, for the most part, is owned by the Poleads. A lot of people don't know that. And the city council is confronted with a lot of angry taxpayers in Kenwood, which is these are very wealthy people, and most of them are Bernie Sanders supporters. So this is not a conservative district, Kenwood and that area, the lakes area, but they're very concerned about the environment around the lakes. They're very concerned about the same things that the people in your town are concerned about. And the response is, we're going to do this. You don't have any choice. So this isn't just an Oak Grove issue. This is an issue for Minneapolis. It's an issue for St. Paul. It's an issue for any metropolitan area with elected officials that might not agree with the Met Council. So really what has to happen is that the state legislature needs to amend these statutes. And yes. I think everyone's missing the point. We're supposedly reforming the Met Council by saying, well, we're going to change the length of the terms, and we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. And it's appointed by the governor, so you are represented. But, you know, we elect the Supreme Court in the state, but we don't elect the Met Council. And so why not, instead of messing around with electing the Met Council, which creates a whole different set of problems, because if we elect the Met Council, we are essentially creating a regional government, which obviates the counties and the cities and to a large degree, the state government. So electing the Met Council doesn't solve the problem, but changing or amending or repealing this statute would what? It would take away their authority.
Their teeth. That's correct. Bob, you've known me for quite a while.
Yeah.
And you've known that I've always stood up. And I'll be the first to say I've changed my mind on certain things if new facts come in. But in this case, in our situation, just like a lot of situations, we look at things from a projected planning, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. What's going on in our city absolutely, positively doesn't make sense. Taking that order or that statute out of the laws of the state of Minnesota would take away their teeth in forcing cities to not have any say. I've never been one to sit down, shut up. When I've been told, don't ask why, don't question how come, this infuriates me beyond belief, because my residents, and I view this as a taking. What's happening in that 1,100 acres of our city is essentially what Met Council is saying. Pure and simply, we have no plans for spending money to get a pipe in that area. There's no plans for growth. There's not enough growth to even service the existing system that's been subsidized by all of the Minnesota residents now in East Bethel. And that's another story that we could go into. The whole thing just doesn't make sense. And when you try to bring up common sense planning issues, they look at me as if they're looking right through you. And because they know,
well, you went to a meeting, and you went to a meeting and you made these statements, and what did they do? They went into executive session.
We went to I was the mayor, and our city administrator and our city attorney went to this meeting with the Met Council and their attorneys and their
Shows good faith, because went and met with them.
And I asked them to reconsider forcing us to have that 1,100 acres of high density. And I talked, and I asked and begged for their understanding that it's not good planning. Their poor planning doesn't justify taking the rights of my residents' property rights away. And I don't care if it's in my city or the state or the federal government. This is just wrong.
Okay. Who's your state representative in Oak Grove?
Kurt Dowd.
So Kurt Dowd is the Speaker of the House of the state of Minnesota. So if he wanted to amend these statutes or address this problem in a way that would be conducive, not just for Oak Grove, but for the entire state, and particularly for Minneapolis and St. Paul, where a guy who might someday run for governor might want to get some votes, you would think he would want to consider something like this rather than capitulating on,
Michelle Benson.
Benson? She's the senator.
Yes.
Have they indicated any interest in this at all?
Well, when I went to that meeting, the steps that we're taking, I wrote a number of letters to Met Council on behalf as the mayor. Then the next step is to go down there and have a hearing with the Met Council. And we did that. That's where I talked to them and asking for their understanding. I got nowhere. They looked at me like I was some rube that didn't know what I was talking about.
Okay.
Then the next step was to go in front of a hearing judge. And that took 30 days, and we just got our answer back from the hearing judge.
Which is
they referenced those statutes saying we don't have the right to question the reasonability of their decisions.
Well, and this is my point about organization and my point about people understanding. The state law empowers them to do these things. So if you're a light rail person, if you're somebody that doesn't like a certain development plan, you don't want mixed use in your neighborhood or your whatever, and your city council agrees with you, they're powerless. If you want to fix it, you've got to get the state representatives on your side. So in Kenwood, it's Scott Dibble. Is it Scott Dibble, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a pretty powerful guy in the House for the Democrats. Why isn't he addressing this? And you wouldn't even have to repeal it. All you would have to do would be to amend it in some way, shape, or form to give local municipalities the ability, whether it's the City Council of Minneapolis or the City Council of St. Paul or the City Council of Oak Grove or East Bethel, to say, no, we don't agree and we're not going to do it.
This is a taking away of our leadership ability. And I'm not against planning. I'm not against regional planning. I understand that, you know, I'm only going to be here for probably another 50 years.
When were those statutes written?
I was trying to find out statutes, which group brought them in, who adopted them. The earliest I could find was 1993.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I didn't.
Because I was going to say the statutes were written because in the day when it was sewer and water, they just needed to be able to get people to sign on to the plan so they could plan ahead and get people to say, okay, we're putting a sewer in 1990 here. But it looks like this happened because somebody said they wanted more power.
This is morphed into abuse of power. And what I need your listeners to understand is that I need their help. We need their help, whether it's Minnesota, Minneapolis, East Bethel, Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center. The communities have to understand that it's not just, I feel helpless as a mayor that's not willing to sit down and shut up. I need everybody's support, and other mayors and other city councils need their residents' support to stand up to the legislators and say, we need a voice. We need a common sense voice. Planning is necessary, but at the behest of forcing landowners to do something or to not be able to do something that the rest of my community has the ability to do is not right.
Well, and my sense is simply that city elected officials should have sway over unelected officials, even if they are appointed by the governor. And if it means that we have a slowdown in planning, well, then we have a slowdown in planning, because this is a question of representation. And it's a question of doing things without representation. And I don't think you can argue that the Met Council, because it's appointed, is somehow representative when we live in a state where we elect the Supreme Court of the state. We elect Supreme Court judges, and yet these people who started out as water, sewer, and airport planners and have morphed into a regional agency with a police force and with thousands of employees and a huge budget, telling somebody, how many miles away are you from the center of from the capital? 15, 20 miles?
No, I'd say 25 miles.
25 miles away from the capital of the state to tell you, you have to do things this way and you can't say no to us.
Well, it goes even deeper than that. When you bring up common sense, real facts, you bring up financial costing structures, you bring up growth plans, you bring up infrastructure required, and none of it makes sense. None of it is proven. There's no funding. There's no planning. There's no estimates. There's nothing.
It's just, we want to do this, and we have this vision.
And we're going to tell you, this is what we're going to do.
And the vision, and this is editorial, but the vision is this, you know, a land of
utopian,
you know, is a utopian landscape of roundabouts and mixed use housing and Starbucks on the corner. And it's basically Maple Grove.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not going to live in a teepee in uptown Minnesota and drive green bicycles around. That's not my lifestyle.
That's why you moved to Oak Grove.
That's why I moved to Oak Grove.
I'm down with the teepee. I could handle that.
You could handle a teepee?
As long as there's room for the ambulance, I'm okay with it.
I like that. I feel helpless, Bob. I really do. I feel that I've given most of my adult life to the city of Oak Grove residents. I've been active in the Republican leadership in BPOU. I've been a delegate. I do all this stuff to understand and learn and bring what I've learned as an engineer and planning and all that stuff into reasonable growth projections, reasonable planning projectives and ordinances and laws. There are a number of laws that don't make sense. The law that allows a non-elected body to get away with telling elected people what they're going to do regardless of their understanding of your own community, that's got to change, and it's got to change immediately.
Well, thanks once again to Mark Corin, the mayor of Oak Grove, Minnesota, and good luck in handling your problems. Podcast 501, of course, sponsored exclusively by Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Remember, for emergency service, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Have them come out and check your AC as we head into the hot weather, because you want to make sure it's working right and you want to make sure that you can save money. It's running efficiently, the filters, the box outside, all of that stuff. Ryan Plumbing plumbing and heating. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. And thanks you guys again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, as I said in Podcast 500, really appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command. We're out here in the North Metro today, and you know, if you want to make a contribution to Podcast Command, it goes to Komodo Dragon Coffee. Just bought some today. Diesel fuel and repairs and other issues associated with Mobile Podcast Command, a 2000 Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance. We are getting ready for summer operations. Lots of things going on. The air show, Sturgis, Burning Man, and others that I want to try to get to. And of course, there's issues getting tickets and clearance and everything else. But your contributions fund operations for Mobile Podcast Command, and there's all kinds of great places to go. So thanks for those. Thanks for listening on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher.com, BlogTalkRadio.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show on AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul. More affiliates as they're announced, and also at GCNLive.com. Thank you for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, where I am BDavis7843. And of course, thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 501. Boop.
Take to the highway, won't you lend me your name? Your way and my way seem to be one and the same. Mama don't understand it. She wants to know where I've been. I have to be some kind of natural born fool. I wanna pass that way again, but you know I could feel it on a country road. Sail on home to Jesus, won't you, good girls and boys?